I invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7. We'll read verses 7 through 11 in this sermon series called The Narrow Way. It's part 3 of 3 parts in the Sermon on the Mount, which is a 3-chapter sermon. And we've reached this section where we consider, again, the theme of prayer. Prayer was covered in part 2 when Jesus gave us the Lord's Prayer and began his teaching in chapter 7 about proper prayer and piety and fasting done in private. And now our Lord comes back to prayer yet again. As we consider our theme this morning, ask, seek, and knock. Matthew 7, 7 through 11, I'll read it out loud. Would you follow along silently? This is God's inspired word. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asked him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, we humbly beseech you to speak through your word. Having read it, now it shall be preached. And we know, O Lord, that human words fall to the ground dead unless your spirit gives wing and life to these words. So that is our prayer. Please touch each listener this morning, meeting our many needs, which all are found as yes and amen in Christ. Grant, O Lord, a vital spiritual communion with every person here today and their Christ. May that show forth with a vital prayer life. May we not wonder if our prayer lives are healthy. May we not stumble to answer the question, how's your prayer life? May each one of us grow today, Lord, to the measure you've ordained. But our plea is that it would be one step forward. May it even be a giant leap forward today as your word is preached, and may we respond in faith. We pray this all in Christ's name. And let us say, amen. Prayer is absolutely vital if you are to walk the narrow way. There is simply no other way to do it. To live a Christian life that actually follows the Sermon on the Mount we've been preaching through for months, that needs a lot of prayer. For example, if you remember back to Matthew chapter 5, when you first entered the sermon, you remember the conclusion of that chapter, the last verse? Well, how are we to do it? How are we to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect? Chapter 5, verse 48. Think back to that chapter 5. How will you and I escape all of the murderous thoughts in our head, all of the mental adultery regularly committed? How will we let our yes be yes and our no be no? How will we turn the other cheek, walk the second mile, love our enemies? How will we be the salt of the earth? How will we be the light of the world? How will we be a city on the hill? How will we live out the Beatitudes and be blessed peacemakers and rejoice in persecution? How can we do these things? We can't without prayer. Or take chapter 6. This is a nice little sermon review, isn't it? Matthew chapter 6. How will you and I trust God and not be anxious? Anxious about our food, our clothing, our food, our drink, our clothing. How will we seek God first and his righteousness? How will we put God over gold and lay up treasures in heaven, not on earth? And not serve money? How are we going to grow in our praying, fasting, and giving without being proud? A Pharisee lurks in the heart of each and every one of us. How will we do these things without help? You won't. You won't without prayer. Well, in today's passage, Jesus leans into this and teaches that if we are to be vital disciples who live out this Sermon on the Mount in our hour-by-hour living, we need prayer, all of us. We need God's grace. We need God's help. We need his divine power. And so that brings us to this morning's passage, which we've read and will now preach. And it brings us to our first point. Here it is. Pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Now I want you to notice here in verse 7 and beyond that Jesus uses three action verbs. Three action verbs to describe prayer. I hope they flow off your tongue. Ask, seek, knock. I want you to notice, firstly, that each of these three verbs are listed with an increasing urgency. Yes, an increasing urgency. Let me explain. When a child enters a room and sees his mother, he gets an idea and asks mother for something. But if a child enters a room and there's no mom, the child begins to seek mom, wandering rooms until mother is found so that he can ask. And on those occasional moments when mother's locked herself in the room to compose herself and collect herself and just have a little quiet time, what does she hear within a matter of time? Mom, are you in there? The idea behind these three verbs, ask, seek, knock, also the idea behind the continuous Greek present tense they're written in is the theme, persistence. Like that child who will find their mother. Ask God. When you see God, ask God. If you don't notice God around, go seek God. If you're not sure, knock. Persistence. That's what these three verbs are all about. The old saying is true. Prayer works as you work at prayer. Ask, seek, knock. Now, I want to make this clear. Let us not confuse persistent prayer with perfunctory prayer. This is an easy mistake to make. Prayer should always be continual, but never mechanical. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns against meaningless repetition. When we pray, meaningless, mechanical repetition is not continual prayer, meaning we don't pray simply out of a sense of duty. That actually defeats the purpose of persistent prayer. Do you know what the purpose of persistent prayer is? It is to express sincerity. You know, you ever wonder why does God demand persistent prayer? God does not demand persistent prayer because he forgets and needs reminding from you. God does not demand persistent prayer because he is reluctant and needs convincing from you. God is always ready to give. The question is, are you ready to receive? Yes. Are you ready to receive? Do you really want that gift from God for which you've prayed? Well, our Heavenly Father is committed to loving you as his son or as his daughter. He will not spoil his children. That means he doesn't just shower gifts on his kids, whether we want them or not, whether we need them or not. He does so if we are ready or not. He waits until we recognize the need and turn to him in sincerity. Repetition, persistence is a sign of readiness. You're ready for it now. We pray with persistence, and God sees we are ready to receive. And we see this in the passage we read earlier, the parable of that unjust judge. Jesus introduces the parable. He explains the parable in verse 1 of Luke 18, saying, at all times we ought to pray and not lose heart. Then there's that other parable. Let's call it the parable of the midnight friend. You have a midnight friend in your life? Yeah, at the end of the parable in Luke 11:8, Jesus says, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. Persistence shows readiness. Persistence shows sincerity. And so let's ask this question. Why do we lack spiritual growth in our lives? Or ask, why is my family not spiritually flourishing? Why is there not healthy, strong growth in Christ Church? Why are we failing to see lost souls saved and confessions of faith with baptisms? One is there is little persistent prayer among God's people. Have you ever noticed sometimes we trifle with prayer? We play with it a bit. We sprinkle it. We sprinkle it on our the rites of passage and our daily rituals. We sprinkle it and then off we go, for we are impatient with prayer. Quickie prayers here, quickie prayers there. Dear church, Jesus has said, answer requires persistence. Persistence is this, again and 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 again. I've hardly touched persistence. Our second prayer, our second point rather, is as we go to the Lord again and again, prayer, we should pray believing that prayer works. This again and again and again and again works. And we see this in verse 8. Look at verse 8 in your Bible. It's important for you to look at it here because I'm going to read it and I want you to connect the dots. In verse 8, it says, for everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Stop. Did you notice that verse 8 is a repetition of verse 7? Verse 8 and verse 7 are merely almost identical. Latter half of verse 7 is the same as verse 8. In these two sentences, now get this, in these two sentences, Jesus promises to answer prayer six times. In two verses, six times. According to Jesus, it goes like this: ask, seek, knock. Again, ask, seek, knock twice. Then what you will get is receive, find, open. Receive, find, open. This is a sixfold promise. And the purpose of this repetition, this sixfold promise, is this: prayer works. Prayer is effectual. When you ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, you receive, find, and open. You receive, you find, you open. Six times over, this is how prayer works, and it's not just for the elite. It is just not for the monastic stuck in a room. It is not for the church leader at the top of a local church. Prayer is for everyone who asks, seeks, knocks, asks, seeks, knocks. It is for the high and holy. It is for the meek and lowly. It is effectual. Now, we have one thing working against us in our generation. We live in a very material world. Our world has been more interested in the material than ever before. What does this mean? It means that you and I, directly and indirectly, have been trained to believe that the only reality is that which you can see, that which you can touch, that which you can smell, taste, and hear. That's the only reality. And since prayer is talking to the invisible world, that's what prayer is, by the way, talking to the invisible world, speaking to the invisible God in the spiritual world who is over all the world, many people, when praying, feel like prayer is getting them nowhere. You see, you and I believe the modern lie. What is the modern lie? Oh, it's going to feel good when I say it, even, because we have so swallowed it. It's this: if you want to get real things done, work. Didn't that feel good? Just work. Yeah, that's right. If you want to get real things done, spend a little money, pal. Organize some people. Organize a movement. Get some action being done. That is a modern lie. The Bible tells us that, oh no, quite the contrary, it is the visible things that are temporal, and it is the invisible things that are eternal. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible teaches that on the authority of Jesus Christ, if we ask Him, our Lord, and keep asking, and keep seeking, and keep knocking, there is a direct divine correlation between asking and receiving. But let me warn you, the opposite is also true. If we fail to ask, if we fail to seek, if we fail to knock, then we will not receive. We will not find. We will not open that door. James 4, verse 2 says it so succinctly. We have not because we ask not. So this week, when you find yourself battling discouragement, when you find yourself depressed, when you find yourself singing the blues, recounting the things that you don't have in life that you feel you need, recounting the promises of God that you wish to see in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your church, in your community, in your world, and you're just singing the blues. I challenge you to ask, have I asked God for it? Have I just launched into complaining and grumbling so quickly I bypassed prayer and I've actually not prayed about this? 9 times out of 10, the answer is no. I'm just complaining. Stop yourself right there when you ask the question and pray, and then pray again, and then pray again. Each time you want to complain or argue or grumble, pray. Pray the matter to your Father in heaven. We see this in the redemptive history of Scripture. When Moses would lift his hands in prayer, it was then that the children of Israel prevailed in battles against their and God's enemies. But when Moses understandably grew tired and weary and his arms began to droop, they began to fail. We see this in Exodus 17:11. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary, so they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. Daniel prayed for Israel's release during the Babylonian captivity, and the moment he prayed, we hear this in Daniel 9:23, that God acted. It says, at the beginning of your pleas for mercy, a word went out, and I, the messenger, have come to tell it to you, Daniel, for you, Daniel, are greatly loved. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. Prayer is never an empty exercise. Prayer is not a ghostly activity that signifies nothing. Dear church, it is the means. It is the means for God's people to exercise by which God gives good gifts. Yes, it makes all the difference. So first, praying with persistence. Then secondly, praying with belief that prayer works. Finally, and this is how we wish to leave today's sermon, and it's pray with confidence. Don't let your repetitive prayer make you less confident. Actually, let it make you more confident that you're closer to the answer. Because we see in our final verse of our text, Jesus explains why prayer works. Yes, Jesus explains why prayer is the means by which God has ordained his will to overflow through you. And it's this: the God to whom we pray is our Father, your dad. Your dad runs the ship. It's your dad. And we see this in verses 9 through 11. Look at your text. It's so beautiful. You just want to see it with your own eyes while I read it for your ears to hear. Verse 9 says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Now, imagine this with me, kids especially. Think now. Imagine you're the kid in the story. Imagine a child comes looking for his father, looking for his father for help. Dad, I'm hungry. Now, we've heard this before, a Saturday morning, you know, if mom's away and dad's around, right? Eventually, hey, Dad, I'm hungry. Ah, they're hungry. I was enjoying the workshop this morning, and kids are hungry. Dad, I'm hungry. I want some bread to eat. I want some toast with butter and cherry Michigan jelly. Dad, I'd like some bread to eat. Would a father give that child something that looks like bread, but is actually inedible or even poisonous? Like, who does that? No, even though parents are fallen, right? Jesus makes this point, even though your earthly parents are evil, meaning we are affected by the fall, so you hear occasionally weird things about parents giving nasty things to their children. But even though we are evil by nature, in general, as a rule of thumb, parents love that child and will give them something edible and healthy. All the more with your good God, he is your father, he answers prayers like a father. Now, what about the times when God doesn't answer your prayer? I know some of you could tell me, Pastor, and maybe some of you will in the hallway. In fact, I invite you to tell me your prayer stories, to tell me your prayer joys, but to tell me your sorrows. And you might say, Pastor, I have asked, seek, and knock. I've asked, seek, knock, asked, seek, knock, asked, seek, knock, asked, seek, knock, asked, seek, knock. I can't tell you how many times I have. I prayed, maybe you say, to pass an exam, and I failed it, and I had to drop out of school. I have prayed to get healed, Pastor, and I've only gotten worse, not better. Or, Pastor, I've prayed about all this war in the world. I've prayed for the bullets to stop, the bombs to cease, the civilians to eat and drink and sleep in safety. And what's it got us? Prayer doesn't work. Well, I think the best way to answer this question is to remember this. The promises of your Father are conditional. Let's explore two of those conditions. Firstly, this is vital for you to know, God your Father will only give you good gifts. He will only give you good gifts. That's the whole point of verse 11. Look there again. Verse 11, final verse says, how much more will your Father in heaven give what? What's your verse say? Good gifts. Good gifts. He will give you good gifts to those who ask him. And so listen to me. The phrase ask and it will be given to you is not an absolute pledge to give you anything, whether good or bad. No. And you know, that phrase, knock and the door shall be open to you, is not a promise that you can walk up to the door and say, open sesame. Like, what if there's a lion behind the door? You're convinced that door, you have to walk through that door. No other door would do. I want this door. And you just say, open sesame now. The Lord says now. And there is a fierce tiger waiting behind that door. You really want your Father to open that door for you. You see, we cannot wave prayer like a wand. Prayer is not a magic wand. It doesn't wave regardless of the wisdom of one's request or desire. The idea that prayer is a wand is ridiculous. If that is how prayer worked, it would turn prayer into magic. It would turn you and me into Aladdin. And it would turn God into a blue genie who sounds like Robin Williams. And he would have to answer whatever you want, good or bad. You see, God only gives that which God determines good. God is an expert at what is good. Few of us are. The older we get, ask the old-time Christians who thought they knew what good they wanted in their life and they got it and they were like, it wasn't that great. But there's more. Secondly, God will only give what he determines for you to be safe. Good and safe. What a great dad. Any dad who wants their child to have what is good and what is safe is a great dad, and that's our Heavenly Father. You know, imagine, okay, back to our scriptural teaching, if a child asked father and mother not for bread and fish like Jesus illustrates, but instead, what if the child actually asked for a rock and a serpent to eat? All right, just to play with the metaphor, play with the teaching. The first request for a rock, Lord, please give me a rock to eat. It is not nourishing. There's no nourishment in it. Secondly, the second request, please give me a serpent. That is poison. No sane parent gives their child a rock to swallow and poison to drink, even if the kid asks them for it. Aren't you glad that God doesn't answer some of your foolish or dangerous prayers from days gone by? You know, prayers that you prayed in your past. It reminds me of a prayer. Not quite a prayer, but let me tell the story. When I was a child, I loved to play in my backyard. I loved to climb trees. We had great maple trees, very climbable. And very climbable on a windy day. And I loved our maple trees and played up there with my neighborhood friends frequently. And one day I remember praying up there with a cute little neighbor girl that I fell in love with at a very young age. And I remember declaring to her as we were playing house in the tree up there, one branch was the living room, one branch was the kitchen. You know, we signed the house, and I remember declaring to her, I wish I were grown up right now so I could marry you. Well, those are the wishes of a child, right? The wishes of a child, and I actually want Mrs. Igo, but I didn't know her. Then, aren't you glad that God doesn't just answer on the spot those desires and those requests that you make in true sincerity and earnest and passion in the moment? The wind is blowing, the tree is swaying. I want to marry you. Very sincere, childlike, beautiful. And the answer was no. If God does not say no to some of our desires and our prayers, prayer, dear church, listen, would become a very dangerous affair. If God always answered yes to your request, prayer could become the equivalent of you holding a loaded gun to your head and pulling a trigger. Or pulling a trigger around an open room. If your requests were led instantly to a yes that is not healthy and safe for you and those around you, what danger prayer could be. All right, so let's close with two questions as application zone. Time for you to take a a good minute to think, and I hope you're a writer. I hope you like to write things down and maybe even write the answer to these questions. All right, here's my first question. Listen, please. What do you want? What do you want? Just calm down. What do you want? Can you articulate it? What need do you have? What do you want? Is it good for you? As the Lord God defines good, is it good for you? Will this make you a man or woman of God? Will the securing of this gift help you be poor in spirit, humble, meek? Will the securing of this gift make you the salt of the earth, the light of the world, a city on a hill? Will you, by receiving this gift, be able to still practice your piety in secrecy, to store up treasure in heaven, to serve God over gold? To receive this gift, will you still keep trusting God and not be anxious for life? Will you be discerning and not judgmental if you receive this gift? Will this gift help you be all that we've learned about in the narrow way living of the Sermon on the Mount? Well, if it is, that's a good gift. And if you want that good gift, you have got to pray. You have got to seek. You have got to knock. Persist again and again and again in praying for good gifts. Keep asking, are they good? Don't assume that your first evaluation was accurate. But make sure you know what you want and keep asking, is it good? All right, here's your second question. How much do you want it? Do you really want it? How much do you want it? If you really want it and are ready for it, then you'll persist. You won't need the preacher to nag you. You won't need your spiritual accountability partner to browbeat you. You won't need to be schooled or exhorted. You're simply going to pray. Because when you want something that is good and wholesome, you pray. Do you want to grow near Jesus? Do you want health in your home? Do you want revival in Christ's church? Do you want the transformation of society to the glory of God? Well, I can assure you, God will not give it to you when you're not ready to receive it. Ask yourself, do you really want this? But now let me close with this encouragement. Jesus Christ lived, died, and rose again to give you this full access to your Father in heaven. Jesus invites you to come boldly to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Never believe that your audience with God is because of your persistence. That's not why you're welcome. Do not think that you earned God's attention by your noisy persistence. But on the flip side, don't think that grace is so free that you need not be persistent. You need not hunger and thirst. It's just gonna fall on your lap. No, because persistent prayer is God's ordained means. It's his way. Not dabbling with prayer, not sprinkling with prayer, not decorating with prayer and the prayer plaques that cover our walls. Really praying. Really hungering. That's God's means. That he's ordained to bless us with every spiritual blessing in Christ in the heavenlies. May we all taste and see that our Lord is good through prayer. And that all God's people say, amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this divine word of our Savior's teaching on that sermon upon the Mount. Thank you, Lord, for prayer, which is the fuel of grace. We thank you for prayer, which is our connecting point with you. Thank you for the instruction our Lord has given us on prayer. Thank you, Lord, that you've been good to answer our prayers, to delay some prayers, and to say no to some prayers. We ask that you would give us a daily experience of talking with you in prayer about your good and healthy will for our lives and our salvation. Bless your church as we renew efforts in prayer. We pray this in Jesus' name, and let us say, amen.